Hello, Bossier, and welcome to Local First. I'm Candace Vetter, and today I'm speaking with Taylor Ryden, who is involved with Eco East, but he's going to talk to us today about the climate strike, the Friday climate strike. Hi, Taylor. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me, Candace.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So tell us about what's planned for, I think it's the, you said it was September the 15th?
The 15th, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the Friday after this Friday. Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be on the hill. So there won't actually be, there was a march last year, but this year it's going to be all on the hill. So it kicks off at noon, and actually I'll be kind of the warming musical act along with Martin LaSalle, our band's Harmonia Exertus. So we'll be kind of greeting everybody from 12 to 1, and then from 1 to about 5, there'll be a mix of speakers and other music, and that'll be the, just to keep everyone in the same place, just to be easier logistically.
So it's going to be on Parliament Hill?
Yeah.
Isn't there excavation or something going on there right now?
They're actually doing it last year too. They had the big facade, like the construction and fencing, but there was, I think for when we get there, there's going to be room for a stage and whatnot, so.
Okay.
There should be plenty of room for the main greens and the grounds. The torch will be accessible, all that, the parking, so.
Climate strike, how did this get started?
So this is being organized by Fridays for Future. So that's the movement that Greta Thunberg had started with her school strikes. And so they're carrying that torch, and they're the ones spearheading this. And so they've kind of reached out to a few local groups to come on out. And so Eco East will be, our group will be coming out. There'll be some other locals like Merrill Front and whatnot be coming out from this area. Green Party, for example, local Greens will also be going. This initiative, it's kind of a worldwide one at this point. But so the Canadian chapter will be doing the strike, and it's just kind of bring attention, you know, the call for some action, chiefly among them being, you know, really, let's start transitioning away from fossil fuels. Let's end fossil fuel subsidies. Let's really start tackling this instead of kicking the can down the road.
So fossil fuels are not the only issue, though, right? Like, I look at around Russell Township, for example, and I see all the trees going down. Maybe there's a connection between the loss of forests.
Well, that's it. Now we're starting to see some effects in the changes, and so it's kind of hard to ignore the amount of, for example, the forest fires we've been having this season, the drier season, warmer season, the smoky days. The heating world is obviously the driving factor to make things drier and more energy, you get more impactful storms. But obviously, losing forest cover at the same time,
They have a cooling effect.
Well, there's a cooling effect. They, you know, like you say, they slow down wind. They are great for transpiration. So when trees transpire, they slow down evaporation as well. They do many, obviously, habitat for life as well. So forests and also wetlands are getting filled in or dry, you know, so that's another thing. Wetlands are kind of one component we're kind of overlooking because there's a lot of mitigation they do too. There's carbon sinks. They are flood mitigation too. Like they, you know, help with, because again, we're seeing storms where greater dumps of water are happening in a shorter spurt. So I know just down in the States, it was just seeing on the news, Burning Man getting, you know, in the desert, right? Getting, was it 3 months of rain in 2 hours? So, and that's kind of news stories seeming to kind of be popping up, you know, quite a bit more of these regions. You're just getting all this unseasonably high rains all in one shot, which is, you know, creates flash flooding. So having wetlands to kind of mitigate that surge is another, when you develop that and you take that away, sure, you're losing habitat, you're losing the biodiversity, but you're also losing the green infrastructure aspect of what wetlands could do. And again, forests, to a certain extent, they do the, you know, wind cover. Actually, a great example I tell people is, like, think about those roads in the winter. We, you know, with our long winters with lots of snow, and if you go on a road that has a bit of a hedge, at least a windbreak, you know, you don't have those sweeping dunes.
There's not as much drifting.
Right? There's drifts, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you go to open fields on either side of the road, and you got these drifts that you're, you know, driving through. And of course, it's more, you know, you have to pay more to keep plowing that because the snow keeps piling up. So there's like knock-on effects. But yeah, so there's so fossil fuels, I mean, just, I guess, our economic engine, right, is built on fossil fuels, but it's our way of going about how do we manage, I guess, our world and the resources. How do we treat not just our own species, which is where lots of work needs to still be done, but other, you know, the life we share this planet with. So again, with the strike, it's so many things happening. It's very multifaceted. It's complex as ecosystems and the climate is inherently. So trying to say one thing, is it one thing or the, it's kind of everything all at once.
It's everything all
everywhere.
At once.
Yeah. You know, so it's the one thing I like to tell people is like the earth is a ship. It's literally an earth ship and it's self-contained. Everything for life is on this planet. So if we spoil, we whatever soil we create, not soil in a sense, but like pollution, we're swimming in it, kind of stuck with it. There is no planet B, there's no escape pods. We're going to have to start where we are already living with the effects and it's just starting. And we're kind of locked in for a certain amount of warming. No matter what if we start, mitigating now, we're going to have to start also adapting now as well, because the winds of change literally are blowing in a certain direction. There's a momentum that started.
Do you think more people are noticing now because of this extreme weather that's been a factor in certainly in the Americas, but also Europe and Australia and China? I mean, a lot of places that are dealing with a lot of problems, natural disasters right now.
Well, that's it. And I mean, obviously, we're kind of at the same time, technologically, we're able to realize what's happening globally at the same time, right? We have the eyes and ears technologically to see what's going on much better than we were in the past. And we can see these changes, and areas that we might not have been on our radars are in our sphere of awareness. Like, so we have, I don't know, Miami, you know, having sea level rise there, you know, waters pouring in, greater storm surges. We have island states, nations that are submerged, you know, starting to submerge. And like you say, we're having droughts, so flooding in Pakistan, but then we're having droughts, kind of extremes in one area getting hit by a drought and a major flood kind of in the same season, which is a very hard
to
deal with.
Well, like BC, was it last year when Lytton burned?
Yes.
So there was this terrible drought, and then there was the heat dome, and then there was the fires, and then there was a bunch of rain, and there was no vegetation in place to hold the rain in place, right? And it's a mountainous area.
Exactly. So you have these regions. It's like it's not just one storm or one drought. They can be hit by a sequence of different catastrophic events. Mm-hmm. So the resiliency factor that you need to have is you have to be even not just drought resistant, you have to be water flood resistant at the same time. So that again is another big talking point or a point of awareness is the adaptation. Now we had a derecho last May, and it 120 kilometer winds, very, very powerful. A lot of building, barns, roofs getting ripped off, church steeples toppling over. I had trees in my property, like an old maple split in half, like things like that. So it's like, okay, now when we build, we're going to have to kind of factor in when these storms pop up, what's our power lines, what's our contingency, how are we going to build going forward in a world where these might pop up? These 100-year storms might be more 20-year storms, for example. Just the frequency and this, statistical likelihood that these are going to come up is just going to increase. So again, multifaceted. So this again affects not only the fuels we use, it's how we, the building materials we use, how we build, what we eat. So everything, it's just really looking at how we manage our society and manage our existence on this planet, and kind of remembering that we're sharing this planet. We are not the and all be all beings that are, we're very influential, but we are sharing this world.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably a good place to end. Thanks very much for coming in, Taylor. We appreciate it very much. Taylor, I should say. I'll get it right eventually.
All good. Those silent H's always get it. That's all good.
Yeah, okay.
But thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Did want to mention that, for example, for EcoEast, the carpool offers are being made.
Okay.
So big on that, of course. So you can check us out on Facebook, EcoEast. We also have ecoeastontario.ca for information there. Or ecoeastont@gmail.com as well. We can be reached at if for questions or for carpooling. So, to coordinate that.
Okay. So lots of ways to get hold of you.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Great. I'm Candace Vetter. This is Local First. I've been speaking with Taylor Ryden about the upcoming climate strike and how to get involved on CJRO Radio, last on the dial, first for local news.